Good evening.
Good evening.
Good to see you tonight. Appreciate your presence here so that we can worship God and study His Word together. One announcement that was given to me, dishes that people brought to the Hartmans, those dishes are over in the fellowship hall. And so make sure that you run over there and grab those on your way out tonight. Jesus said in John 16:33, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Victory in Jesus. It is a recurring theme throughout the New Testament. Paul wrote about it. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, he wrote, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." John wrote about it. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, he said, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." And as Paul wrote to the church at Rome, in a very impressive passage of Scripture, in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, he illustrates this idea of victory. He says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." "No," he says, "in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Victory in Jesus. You know, we've got numerous songs in our psalm books that talk about that victory. 3 points that we want to notice together tonight, based off 3 verses of one of those psalms. If you have your psalm book and you want to follow along in your psalm book, it's number 596. In verse 1 of this psalm, first we see we have victory in Jesus' cleansing. We have victory in Jesus' cleansing. Verse 1 of the psalm says, "I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory." Friends, the basis of the gospel message is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That is at the heart of Christianity. That's the good news, the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, Paul defines for us what the gospel is. He tells the brethren there in Corinth that he had preached the gospel to them. And then he goes to recount what that gospel message was. He said in verse 3, "For I have delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried and that He rose again the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." Friends, without Jesus' blood, there is no cleansing of sin. Without that sacrifice, there is no forgiveness. The Hebrew writer echoes back to the time of the Old Testament sacrifices in Hebrews 9:13-14, and talks about the fact that that blood of those animals couldn't forgive, but that the blood of Jesus, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, that's what gave us our forgiveness. That precious blood that Jesus shed. In Hebrews 10:10 we read, "And by that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." You know, those sacrifices that they offered in the Old Testament, they had to continually offer them, right? Over and over, because that blood, it only pushed the sins forward. It could not forgive. It only forgave in the sense that it looked to the coming of Jesus, to the sacrifice that He would make, to the blood that He would shed. Friends, we now have that perfect sacrifice. That blood that was shed purchased the church. Acts 20:28, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. It is that blood that redeems you and me. 1 Peter 1:18-19, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold. It's not with money that Jesus bought us back. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Paul, talking about that sacrifice in Philippians chapter 2, summed it up this way. He said, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Friends, when we think about the victory that we have as children of God, we have victory, first of all, in Jesus' cleansing. Number two, we find victory in Jesus' compassion. We find victory in Jesus' compassion. Notice verse 2 of the song. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing. And when we read that, we might first think of what we've already talked about, the cleansing of sin. But as you read into the next part of the verse, we see it's talking about a different type of healing. How he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. I then obeyed his blessed commands and gained the victory. In the book of Matthew, we see a recurring theme. And it's seen in all the gospel accounts, but it's especially seen in Matthew's account. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, we read, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. In chapter 14 and verse 14, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. In chapter 15 and verse 32, then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd. In Matthew 20 and verse 34, and Jesus in pity touched his eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. Notice he had pity, or sometimes that word is translated compassion. Over and over we see this theme that Jesus had compassion for those that were around him. He cared about them. We read instances where Jesus wept. He wept at the death of Lazarus. I don't believe Jesus was necessarily weeping for himself there, because Jesus knew what? That he was about to raise him from the dead, right? But he saw all these people hurting, and his compassion moved him to tears. We see him weeping over the city of Jerusalem because they wouldn't follow. They wouldn't come to him. Over and over, we see this concept of Jesus being a person of compassion. Friends, God and Jesus love you more than you can fathom. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This level of compassion, this level of love, it's hard sometimes to wrap your head around. God freely gave his Son for us. I love y'all, okay? But if you said, hey, I've got to sacrifice Harrison for you. Now, some days, but most days, I can't do that. That's my son. And I know those of you who are parents, you understand what I'm talking about here. But yet, God willingly did that. Jesus freely came. Y'all, he knew what the end result of his coming was going to be. It wasn't like he came and we don't know how this is going to go. He knew the end of the movie. He knew how this played out. And he came anyway. Because of his great love for us. For they so loved you and me. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. Friends, when we think about victory, the victory that we have as Christians, we have victory in Jesus' cleansing. We have victory in Jesus' compassion. And then finally, number three tonight, we have victory in Jesus' coming. We have victory in Jesus' coming. Back to the third verse of our song. I heard about a mansion that he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the street of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Friends, Christ is coming again. In John chapter 14, in verses 1 through 4, he told us that he was going to prepare a place for us. And that if he went to prepare a place for us, he would come again for us. Paul described that great day in his letter to Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. He says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left unto the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Peter weighed in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. He said, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness. What did Jesus promise? He promised he was coming again. Peter says, don't think that just because it hasn't happened yet that it's not going to happen. But he's patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He says he hasn't returned yet because he wants to give folks the chance. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved. And the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in the lives of holiness and godliness? Peter asks an important question. He says, knowing that all this is going to go away, how should you be living your life? Paul lets us know that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That each one of us may receive what is due for what we have done in the body, whether good or evil. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Friends, you and I one day will stand before the God of heaven. And we'll give an account for how we've lived our lives, how we've treated those around us, how we have obeyed his commandments. What will that account be like? For those who have been faithful to God, friends, we have victory. We have victory in Jesus. Victory in his cleansing, victory in his compassion, and victory in his coming. The chorus of the song says, O victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Friend, do you have that victory this evening? Have you been plunged beneath that cleansing flood? As Paul told Ananias, and now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If you're not a Christian, why not take that step, become one, and have that victory? If you are a Christian and you've been unfaithful, friend, don't allow Satan to defeat you. Christ has overcome Satan. And we can too by obtaining the forgiveness that he offers. Victory in Jesus.